Brad Williams is a longtime stand-up comedian and a veteran of the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, and he will be back at Moon Tower this year for a show on Friday, April 19th, the late show at the Paramount Theater. It is a 9:30 show. You can go to austintheater.org for info and to snag the tickets that remain. And Brad was nice enough to join me prior to talk about comedy, football, and more. Brad?
What's up, buddy?
A lot. Great talking to you again, man. How you doing?
Yeah, great. Can you remind me what date this is again that I'm promoting?
No, all good. I know that you do a billion of these. This is going to be your Moon Tower deal.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I think it's the Friday at the Paramount. Yeah.
The 19th, right?
Yep.
7 or 7:30 show, I believe.
Oh no, it's a later one because I'm doing the late show. I think it's 9 or 9:30 actually.
You're right about that. 9:30. I actually have tickets to Roy Wood earlier. I don't have tickets to you yet, but that may be changing since I'm already going to be out there.
Trust me when I say this. If you go see Roy Wood and not me, I am not offended. Roy is a genius. So all good.
So I tried it a month or so ago, going to two different really good comedy acts in the same night.
Yeah.
It turned out really well too. One of them was at the Paramount. It was nice. Mark Normand. And then I went to Rogan's place and saw Dan Soder after that. It was mind blowing how hard I got to laugh over the course of like 3 hours. And I know that's going to happen on that Friday night too.
It's amazing when you get to see multiple great comics in a night. I mean, if you live in New York, LA, now Austin, you can kind of get spoiled with that because you could see, you know, you can go to the Comedy Store, you can go to the Comedy Cellar, you can go to the Mothership, and you could see multiple like huge headliners in a night. And it's just, it like you leave just your stomach feels like it's been through a workout. And then you get to see people with different comedic styles and you get to see like how there's not just one way to do this thing. And it's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I love Moon Tower, the festival in general. Before Austin really blew up as a comedy town, too, is they offer so many different styles and different ways to make people laugh, too, by the way. It's not just the stand-up comedy, although that's obviously the focal point. Podcasting is coming into play now. There's a golf tournament that is affiliated with the festival now, too.
Yeah, and I'll be playing in that. I'll be playing in the golf tournament. Now, is that a little pitch and putt? The tournament is catered to my game, the short game. Hey, look at that. Bam, professional comedian. I just sold more tickets at the Paramount because of that joke. But just know that if you come watch the golf tournament, which you can come be a gallery member and watch comedians play golf. Just know we're not professionals. So if you stand like next to us, you know, you might get a limb taken off. Like don't trust that we're going to just nail it straight towards the green every time. We can shank a few.
Don't line the tee box like what is going to be happening at the Masters this weekend.
Yes. Those guys know what they're doing. We're weekend warriors at best when it comes to golf.
I suck at golf. Are you any good at golf?
Yeah, I am. My dad would always make the same joke, and when people would ask him, like, "Oh, your son's pretty good at golf. What's his handicap?" He would always say, "Dwarfism." but no, I'm actually pretty good. I shoot in the low 90s on a good day. For 18. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm not horrible. I'm not amazing. Like some of the best comedian golfers, man. Obviously, Andrew Santino is awesome.
He's the first name that popped into my head when you started to say that. Yep.
Yeah. There's a guy out of Nashville. He lives in Nashville now. His name is Court McCowan. He's ridiculous. But yeah, there's a couple of actual good comedian golfers. I am in the he's all right kind of level.
Well, the Roy Butler Pitch and Putt is a really cool place to play a little bit of golf, too, because it is lower stakes. And they also serve one of the best burgers in the city as well. So
they do. I had it last time. It was awesome. Austin has become, and especially now that a little industry note, the Montreal Comedy Festival is no more, or at least it might be coming back, but it's not happening this year. So Austin, you have the belt right now as the world champion in terms of comedy festivals. It is the best one for so many reasons, but one being the food is great all over Austin, Texas. The comedy is going to be amazing. There's, like we talked about, there's different venues. You can go see me at the Paramount Theater, which is the big theater. You can go see the State Theater right next door, which is a smaller theater. You can go to Cap City. You can go to the Mothership. And then there's like all these little venues around. There's 800 Congress. That's a fun little venue. There's Anton's. That's a fun venue. Like, there's so many great spots around the city where you can see comedy. Anton's is such a great venue. It's so intimate. I saw Tom Segura there. He was doing an early show. I was doing a late show. And it's Tom Segura. He can sell out a stadium, but he was doing his show in Spanish. So, like,
yeah.
So there was definitely some people that showed up, no matter how many times he said, hey, it's not in English. There's some people that showed up thinking it was going to be in English. But it was really cool to see that. And then you always end the night going to the GD Comedy Jam. And at the end of the night, that's where all the comedians end up. Oh, so you don't know about this. It's the goddamn Comedy Jam. And so what that is where comedians get to pretend to be rock stars. There's a live band, and we choose a song. We say why we like the song. We do a couple of jokes, and then we perform the song. It's always bat-ass crazy by the end of the night. Everyone's been drinking, and it's just glorified karaoke. I've been crowd surfing numerous times at this show. So no matter what you do in Austin for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, make sure you end the night going to the GD Comedy Jam.
That sounds like karaoke on steroids. What's your song if you have to go with one particular tune?
All right. So here's some that I've performed. I performed Pearl Jam Alive. I performed Proclaimers 500 Miles. I've performed Kid Rock, Ba with the Ba. It's just a good time. And you get a lot of comedians' musical taste. You kind of get an idea of what they're into. But also, because we're comedians, we instinctively want to perform and we want to entertain the crowd. So you're not going to hear like a deep cut on a some whatever record that you're just like, no one knows that song. Nah, it's all sing-alongs, it's all bangers, it's all songs that you know. So yeah, that's where you end your night. I feel like I've hyped that show more than my show. Go see me at the Paramount, but then end your night at the GD Comedy Jam. I'll be performing it there one of the nights, singing. I believe I'm doing Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger. Yep. So yeah, you'll see some crazy big comedians doing some performances at the GD Comedy Jam.
Yeah, you and I are a similar age. You're in my wheelhouse when you're talking about alt rock from the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, Brad. By the way, I love to watch people that I consider to be good people thriving. Just based solely on your Instagram life, it seems like you are really thriving right now. You're in the midst of a theater tour that sells out. You're like, you're VIP number one at these sporting events that you go to, whether we're talking about a Broncos game, perhaps a Pelicans game or something else.
Yeah,
dad as well. I'm assuming the family life is going pretty good for you. Is life good right now for you, man?
Life's great. Life doesn't suck. Whoever said, like, man, being rich and famous, it's not all that cracked out to be. No, it's freaking amazing. I don't know who said that. It's awesome. Everyone should try. But yeah, I got to go sit courtside at a Pelicans game not too long ago. I was shooting a movie in New Orleans. I was shooting the sequel to Spinal Tap. Spinal Tap 2 is coming out.
You're in that? Holy shit.
I'm in it. Mark it. But yes, I'm in it. I'm in the sequel to Spinal Tap. Me and Wee Man are also in the movie. So we'll finally put the rumor to bed that we're not actually the same person. You'll see us both on screen at the same time. You'll be like, those are different people. But yeah, we got to go to a New Orleans Pelicans game and sit courtside. And I'm not gonna lie, when NBA players, they can't be distracted by much. But two dwarves on courtside, yeah, they were distracted. It was kind of fun because they just looked over. And they're like, oh, legs dangling, must be a kid. Nope, I see beards. So. Yeah, that was really great. Some of the players gave us some autographed merchandise after the game. It was awesome, man. I'm living my sports dream right now, whether it be pro sports. I'm literally about to go and shoot something with the Denver Broncos team. They're my football team.
Oh yeah.
They're gonna bring me in to shoot something for their YouTube channel where I get to interview some past players. So I'm about to geek out.
Oh, badass. Do you know what players?
So it's gonna be from the year, what is it? Like 2005 or something. So I know I'm interviewing Jake Plummer. Jake the Snake, and
okay. Do you know what Jake is currently up to now? Because I interviewed him a few years ago.
I know he's selling mushrooms.
Yes, he is, and he looks nothing like the clean cut Jake Plummer from his playing days, which is awesome. He's got the coolest perspective on life. So have a lot of fun with that one. Jake is a really cool dude.
I can't wait to interview him. I've heard him on a couple of other interviews, and he just seems like he's the guy that post career. He has figured something out for himself and carved his niche. And that niche happens to be really high on psychedelics. Yeah. So if you like the psychedelics, but maybe not the political opinions of an Aaron Rodgers, Jake Plummer, everybody, go for it.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Poor man's Aaron Rodgers. That is great. Anybody else that you know of from that era that you're getting to talk to?
I believe Al Wilson. I mean, I already know him. I'm friends with him, but Rod Smith.
You're friends with Rod Smith. Is he just the coolest dude? He was such a smooth player in that secondary. As a wide receiver, excuse me.
Yeah, he's the best guy, man. So, and it'll be nice to do something with the Broncos organization to take my mind off the fact that we're paying a quarterback $85 million to not be on our team.
Look, Russell Wilson was better last year than he was the previous year. Are you still okay with the Russell Wilson era coming to an end?
Absolutely. As someone who watched every game, people tout certain numbers like, oh, his completion percentages were up and he didn't throw any interceptions. And I watched the games. If you're just looking at those stats, it looks like he's pretty good. But when you watch the games, you realize that most of those balls are being thrown in the backfield. There's not a lot of deep ball action, which sounds like a porno that I rented two nights ago. But there's not a lot going down the field, really stretching the field. So it's not stretching the defense out. So as someone who watched every game, I'm like, yeah, we did in a quarterback-rich draft where you can have a guru like Sean Payton, hopefully get a guy that he sees and wants to mold and really take charge. Yeah, I'm totally fine with it. It's going to stink this year because we have no money because we're literally $85 million of dead cap.
Yeah.
But I love how now it's not just football experts. Now we all are experts in terms of how it's being a GM, and we know about cap space and hard caps and things like that. But, yeah, this year's going to stink, but hopefully this move will set us up for a couple years down the road, being a powerhouse with hopefully a franchise QB.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask you, because the draft is just a couple weeks away now. Denver, maybe more than anybody else, is being rumored as to moving into that top five to take J.J. McCarthy. So would you be okay with a move into the top five for J.J. McCarthy? Because, look, the guy helped Michigan win a national championship this year, but that was almost in spite of a lack of inspired play at times at that quarterback position. Everybody thought he was going to take major steps forward this year. Maybe they didn't need him as much because the defense and the run game were so good, but McCarthy fairly pedestrian watching the college game this last season.
It seems like that when you watch it. I'm obviously not a quarterback expert. I would not go to a 4'4" dwarf from Orange County for my football analysis, but I will say that I will hopefully trust Sean Payton in terms of he sees something. If it were up to me, I like Penix. He's a Pac-12 guy. I watched a lot of Pac-12 because I went to USC and I'm a USC fan. So I was watching a lot of Penix, and I'm like, dude, that guy's insane. I don't know what people don't like about him, but he just seemed really exciting. He seemed like he could make all the throws. That's who I like, but hopefully they see something in JJ that I'm not seeing, and they see something that they can develop.
I was at the Texas-Washington game in the college football playoff semifinal in New Orleans. As a Longhorn fan, I've never walked away from a game more impressed with a guy's physical capabilities as a thrower of the football. And he's got underrated athleticism, too. It's less underrated now because people saw what he ran at his pro day at Washington. But the guy moves around insanely well in the pocket, too. Always keeps his eyes downfield. The only thing that's going to keep him from becoming a superstar at the next level is injury history. He just has to learn how to sometimes just go down and not take another hit in the name of making a play downfield.
Yeah, and hopefully he could do that. We've seen other quarterbacks, whether it be Tua. Tua apparently like took a whole class on like how to fall. He started taking judo just so he could like learn how to fall, so not get as many concussions.
Yep.
So it can be done. You know, you tell your Lamar Jacksons to slide, and hopefully they do. So it can be done, and I like, and I'm with you. I saw the athleticism of the guy, and just was like, oh my god, that at the pro level could be insane. But apparently we're still doing this thing, the same thing Bill Polian did to Lamar Jackson, where it's like, I don't know, really athletic quarterback? I don't know if we don't really need that. It's like, do we not have enough samples that this can work? I don't understand it. But
I need him to look more like Dante Culpepper. Sorry.
Yeah. And just be and just have no knees and be stiff in the backfield. Great. Awesome. So yeah, I don't know why we're still like fearing the mobile quarterback in terms of what they can do, what they can't do. Maybe someone like a Trey Lance then has scared people because they get him there and then it doesn't turn out right.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. But I like Penix, but fingers crossed that the Broncos were able to take their quarterback, because now the whole thing with the NFL is you get a good QB, you have him on that rookie deal, you pay everybody else, and then you get, and then when you pay the QB, unless he's Patrick Mahomes, then the quality of your play goes down. That's like the whole business model right now of the NFL, is you try to do the Jared Goff, you try to do the Brock Purdy, where you get him cheap. And I meant Jared Goff with the Rams, not the Lions.
Yeah, no, the Lions, I won't say they lucked out, but this is a make or break year for Jared Goff in Detroit, and he seemed to at least answer the questions for one season.
Yeah, and
that deal ended up working out well for both sides, by the way, because the Rams obviously got their championship with Matt Stafford, and the Lions hopefully have their quarterback for the present and future with Jared Goff and a really talented group of receivers around him.
The rare trade that works out for both people. Man, because as a Broncos fan, of course, we have the Russell Wilson trade, which I think has replaced the Herschel Walker trade as the worst trade in NFL history.
Yeah.
It's for what you got out of it, pretty darn awful. Now, the Herschel Walker trade, Dallas was able to turn that into the players that ended up going on their three Super Bowl runs, but Seattle wasn't able to do that. But they were able to get a more exciting team, a better team, and the Broncos got Bupkis.
Yeah, Cleveland is kind of dealing with that right now with that Deshaun Watson deal, where the Texans have turned themselves into legitimate contenders almost overnight.
Yeah, look at that. And then they get Diggs this year, and Diggs is their third receiver now. Like, who's the number one? I don't know. Like, Diggs is in his early 30s, so it's like, Collins, is he number one? I don't know. Like, you have three guys that are really awesome, and you have CJ Stroud back there. Joe Mixon, as with all of football, it's if they can stay healthy. But if Joe Mixon is healthy, you got a darn good running back out there. Texans, I was at a game last year. I was at the regular season game of Texans versus Tampa Bay. It was a shootout. It was awesome. And I saw Stroud play, and I saw some throws he made. And, dude, that is an exciting team in a great city. And I'm stoked for the Texans.
So, unfortunately, at this point, I'm an NFL bastard, Brad. I used to be an Oilers fan, but when they moved to Tennessee, I tried to root for Tennessee, and it just wasn't the same. And then I tried to root for the Texans, and it wasn't working. I genuinely like watching this Texans team, too. I do worry, though, that they're getting a version of Stephon Diggs where the wide receiver diva matrix is not working out in the favor of the talent over the off-field distraction. So it could be a net negative for them. But ultimately, hopefully they figure out pretty quickly if so, because he was becoming a little bit too much of a malcontent with Buffalo over these last few years. And then at the halfway point of this last season, all of a sudden his production dropped down significantly. And that's not a matter of Josh Allen not throwing in the football. There was something weird going on. Maybe there's an injury in retrospect that we don't just know about, but I do feel like he's hit the downside now where he's going to have to be a little bit more of a team player than we've seen throughout his career so far. Otherwise it's going to be an issue for whatever roster he's on.
1,000%. And I don't know, maybe if I'm Stephon Diggs, I'm just happier that I don't get to play in Buffalo in winter.
True. or live in Buffalo for at least, 5 months out of the year.
For some people, it is not what they would prefer.
I like how you just said that there, because you know you're going to have to go play at Buffalo at some point in the future, so you don't want those.
Did you like that good political answer? I like Buffalo. It's a fun city. I listen to the Goo Goo Dolls all the time. Go Buffalo.
Wait, are Goo Goo Dolls a Buffalo band?
Hell yeah, they're a Buffalo band.
All right.
So there's the Buffalo is known for the Bills, Wings, and the damn Goo Goo Dolls.
And Niagara Falls is pretty close by, right?
Niagara Falls is great. I've seen it multiple times. You know, it's not like here's a state I can attack. It's not like Mount Rushmore, where if you see Mount Rushmore, you're like, all right, there it is. Like, you could actually go back to Niagara Falls. It's very relaxing. It's very good.
And physically impressive, because you're right. You go to that other monument, the Four Presidents, and you're like, oh, this is much smaller than I thought it would be. This is the rare example where the photography looks better than the actual natural view of things.
1,000%. So, and I think I'm okay with making fun of whatever Dakota that monument is in. I don't know if it's north or south. I've seen it. I don't know.
maybe East Dakota at this point. Hey, so I saw on Instagram also, you were on the sideline for a Broncos game this last season. I don't know if that was your first time or not. Obviously, it's cool getting to be down there, but the limited experience of I have doing that, not at NFL games, mind you, but just watching football games, it's kind of hard to watch and pay attention to what's happening at the game. You're essentially watching the big screen the entire time to figure it out, unless the ball is specifically in your end, right?
Yeah. So I got to be sidelined, and it was a Monday night game. So like it was night, and man, the atmosphere was electric. I didn't mind it. That, and when you go down to field level, I've seen two games at field level, one with the Broncos where they put me on the sideline, and then the other one, a friend of mine got tickets to one of those field level boxes for the Chargers.
Yeah.
So I got to go down there and see. One thing you see is how big these guys really are, because when you're on TV and they're like, people think it's that Steph Curry effect where people think Steph Curry is short. It's like Steph Curry is 6'3". Like you see Steph Curry in real life, you're like, oh, you're not short. But then when you're next to Giannis, it's easy to look a little smaller. But you see how big these football players are. You see the speed at which they are going. And when a hit happens not too far from you, you just go, oh my God. Like, there's a part of you that just goes, I don't think we should be playing football. Like, I don't think we should be doing this. Like, I truly.
These guys may want to watch out for head injuries. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You see that and you're like, yeah, maybe we should go flag. I don't know. Maybe my kids should play baseball. I'm not sure. because all you got to worry about in baseball is your interpreters stealing $14 million from you.
Mm.
Yes, that's what you see when you're down there. But the Broncos are really good to me. They give me, thankfully, my team is a team that doesn't have a lot of like high ranking celebrity fans. So like I can get in there. They need representation. I'm there for them. Like if I was a fan of the New York Giants, like they got plenty of celebrity fans. You got the Rams out in L.A. You know, like no, I picked the Denver Broncos. Not a lot of celebrity fans. So they roll out the red carpet for me, and I love it.
Deserving, by the way, even if there are more more well-known Broncos fans out there. You're a badass, dude. You're a hilarious comedian. You're having a moment right now, this theater tour. You're about to be going on a cruise with Chris Jericho, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The Broncos know that, too. It's why they're about to have you interview Jake Plummer, Al Wilson, and Rod Smith.
Yeah, man. And we will call the cruise by its proper name, the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea.
Holy cow.
It's pro wrestling, heavy metal, and comedy all on a boat. It's the best. Oh, and there's like, I don't even get paid that much for it, but if you want to go and see the damnedest vacation of your life, by all means, get tickets to the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea.
Look, I don't watch wrestling currently. The last time I watched wrestling regularly, I guess, would have been when I was in college, the late teens, early 20s. Sure. Even back when Jericho sprung onto the scene, he had incredible Nike skills. That guy had the cadence, I guess, in the mind to be a stand-up comedian. I would imagine that if he actually tries to get on stage opening for you, that he's not going to do a terrible job in the process.
He did it. Because I've done the cruise a few times, and there's one time where he did. And he has that natural charisma that is so tough to get in pro wrestling. But yeah, it is a trip. So if you can't make it out to see me this, at the Paramount Theater, by all means, get tickets to the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. So you can see a dwarf tell jokes and you see someone get hit with a folding chair. What a vacation.
Are you going to get into the ring at all to try and wrestle?
I got in there last year. Last year, there's video of it. So you're my age, so you'll remember the Dudley Boys.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So Devon can't really climb the ropes anymore. So they got me to hit the what's up headbutt, the headbutt from the top rope where you land in the crotch hole area, and I did that move to one of Billy Gunn's children. They're wrestlers. I didn't take a 7-year-old and like do this move to them. So like, yeah, they're pro wrestlers themselves. So
wait,
yeah.
Did you go top rope to do that?
Second rope. Top rope is high.
It looks like it. Even the second rope is pretty high though. Did you feel that at all? Was it there a jostle as you're landing? I know that the
ring
has a give, but it does seem like you're still having to deal with something there.
Yeah, you're not landing on a trampoline, that's for sure. So I did that. But hey, when Bubba Ray Dudley says, "Hey man, do you want to hit the what's up headbutt?" You're like, "Yeah, okay." Like I can't look. And not that I would ever have this chance because time travel doesn't exist, but I can't look at my 13-year-old self and be like, "Hey, you're going to have the opportunity to do this and you're going to turn it down." So I had to say yes. And I did it the year before on the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager C. I hit a Hornswoggle, the dwarf wrestler, with a Stone Cold Stunner. There's a video of that on my social media. So yeah, man, it's a blast. I'm between the Denver Broncos, pro wrestling, selling out shows. I'm living my best life. I'm living all my childhood fantasies. Now all I got to do is divorce my wife and marry Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like that's if I could do that, I will check off everything on my childhood bucket list. So I'm pretty sure she's married and happy and a parent. But Jennifer Love Hewitt was my high school crush. So I'm still fingers crossed, holding on to some hope.
makes a lot of sense to me. Not only are all those things going for you, you've also apparently just won the internet today. It's April 11th that we're recording this conversation. OJ was announced as dead a little bit ago, and you have the flamethrower of all flamethrower comments about that. I'm not going to force you to say it. I'm going to say it for you.
No, I'll say it. I'll okay, put my name on this. This is my joke. OJ literally was announced dead a couple hours ago, and my joke is, well, OJ can rest easy now that his wife's real killer is dead. Ha! That's my joke, everybody. If you see anyone else tweet it, it's not theirs. It's mine. It's winning the internet today. The best part about it, dude, the best part, I'm getting death threats
No.
from people. I'm laughing about it. I'm
Oh
getting,
God.
it's like, I got two. It's fine. I got two death threats from people for making a joke about a man that was found liable for killing Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. I say found liable because I know the exact legal terminology, fools. So yes, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if the OJ supporters don't exactly like me, although maybe I should be scared because apparently they're okay with murder.
By the way, you did send this out 18. You retweeted a New York Post article saying OJ had died, and 18 minutes later, you come out
Yeah.
with that zinger. Kudos to you. I don't know if you can't use that on stage now because you've used it on Twitter. I'm not sure how these things work with stand-up comedy, but I do
Hey
kind of hope to
man,
see it on stage next Friday.
I don't be surprised if I use that on stage in Austin, Texas, and maybe have a couple of tags for it by then.
You should. It's fucking gold. You should. I can't wait to see that.
Thank you. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan right now. Jealous? Of course you are. And I'm going to try it out tonight. So let's see how it goes.
Excellent. Real quick, back to the Spinal Tap thing. You're in Spinal Tap too. What do you play, a band member or something? What is your role in that? I don't know how much you can actually say, but what do you do
So
for that?
I can't say
Okay.
exactly what my part is. All I can say is if you've seen the original, it's not hard to figure out what I'm doing. That's what I can say. But I and all I can add to it is that there's amazing holy S guest stars. There's ones that have been announced, and then there's a couple others that popped in. Like Sir Paul McCartney is in this movie. Garth Brooks is in this movie. Sir Elton John is in this movie. I may or may not have a scene with one of those people.
Oh.
But yeah, it is unbelievable. It was an amazing experience to get to work with Christopher Guest again, to get directed by Rob Reiner, to have the whole band back with Michael McKean and Harry Shearer. It's unreal. Talk about bucket list stuff. That's like holy crap. And can't wait for the movie to come out, man.
Absolutely. All right, I'm working a little bit backwards here.
That's
Obviously, the
fine.
most important thing is to see Brad at the Paramount on Friday, April 19th. It's a late show at the Paramount for Moon Tower Comedy Festival. You can go to austintheater.org to snag tickets. There are still some tickets as we speak right now on April 11th. That may not be the case a week from now. So when you hear this, act now. Go do it. This guy is well worth the price of admission. You're going to get to see some tags to that OJ joke, by the way. And he won the internet on April 11th with that joke. Have you performed at the Mothership before? I keep close tabs on those who
Yeah.
pop in there, but have you done a set there?
Yeah, I have. I've popped in a couple of times. And that is always a trip. You never know who you're gonna see at that club. It
Yeah.
is such a great club in terms of how it's run, how it's set up, how it's designed, not only for the audience, but the comedians. It's like every detail had them in mind. I've got some stories from who I've met at the Mothership where literally I'm not allowed to say who I've met there backstage. You never know who you're going to see. It is an absolute trip.
What world do they reside in, if you can't say the name in particular?
Politics, the world of politics. So
Interesting.
I don't even like to put it out there because I don't want people to think that certain people are going there so that they can possibly see them or if they disagree with them in person or strongly. So I just like to say that, like, I've met some cool people there. Obviously, the comedians are great, and that club, Austin has always had a great comedy scene, always. But that club has really boosted it. You had a lot of people move out to Austin from New York, from LA, that maybe weren't getting the stage time in those cities that now are getting stage time. And it's not that they weren't great. They were amazing, and now they're getting looked at more, and they're getting more stage time, and they're being profiled. It's truly like now when you talk about the big comedy clubs in the industry, you have to mention the Mothership. You have to. It's already reached that point, and I hope it continues, man.
Mothership or Comedy Store?
Oh, I say Comedy Store just because that's my home.
Yeah.
That's where I go. That's where I live. That's where I work out. But for those that live in Austin, you have a really special place in the Comedy Mothership. Really special.
All right. Mothership or The Cellar?
Man, you're killing me with this. So, once again, I played the Mothership twice. I played the Cellar multiple times. Now, the Cellar has multiple clubs. They've got like three or four rooms that are all within walking distance. So the last time I was in New York, I did seven sets in a night, just hopping around to all the different rooms of the Comedy Cellar. Wow. So for that reason, I'll say the Cellar, but just because of the amount of sets you can get and you can work out, and like you could start with an idea and by the end of it, you'll have a complete joke written because of all the reps that you're getting. So I'll say the Cellar, but like I said, it's like Neapolitan ice cream. It's all good. Like you might like chocolate slightly more than strawberry or vanilla, but it's all good. It's all great. And I love the fact there's so many amazing comedy clubs now, because it used to just be comedians had to live in New York or they had to live in LA. Now comedians can live in New York, LA, Austin, Nashville, Denver. There's plenty of comedy cities that are hubs that that people can live at. And the fact that in addition to having the Mothership, now Austin has the best festival. Come on, you guys are killing it. It's great.
Exactly. I love what's happening with stand-up comedy right now. All right, last question. Speaking of stand-up, Brad, you're doing really well at stand-up right now. You've been at it for a long time, too. What do you love about stand-up comedy?
Oh, geez. You know what I like about stand-up comedy, and this is personal, but I like the fact that it is undeniable in terms of your success, and that if you're an actor, you could have a casting director be like, I don't like their look. I don't like the feel. I don't like the box they check. I'm not a fan of, yeah, they're doing it well, but this person's doing well over here too. So let's cast this person. This person's got a better manager, whatever that. If you're a stand-up comedian, if you are funny, you will work. Period. End of story. You will work. You will have success. And I love the fact that comedy is there's very few gatekeepers in comedy, whereas you can have a guy like Shane Gillis get quote unquote canceled, get kicked off Saturday Night Live. Back in the day, your career was just done. Your career was over. But now you can find your audience, find your way through stand-up comedy, and now Shane Gillis is one of the top comedians in the country because he's funny as hell. He's undeniably funny. So that's what I love about stand-up comedy, is no matter what the industry itself might say about you, like, you have a home in stand-up comedy. And if you are funny, you will work. If you tell, and there's no guessing. There's no like, oh, was that guy funny? Was that girl funny? If they told a joke and the audience laughed, done. End of argument. You can say, I don't find that comedian funny, but you can't say that they're not funny if they're making a club, a theater, or sometimes a stadium full of people laugh. We're absolutely going through a comedy boom right now. You're so many different types of comedy, and that's the best part about having the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, is that you can see all these different types of comedy. You can see, like, I got to watch Bob the Drag Queen 2 years ago. I hadn't seen Bob before. I have heard great things, and I'm like, what is this Bob the Drag Queen that is selling out all over the country? I watched Bob, not sure the pronoun I'm supposed to use. Let's go with they. They killed it. She killed it. He killed it. Bob the Drag Queen killed it. Okay. So much energy on stage, and I was unfamiliar. So even as a comedian who's plugged into the industry, I got to see something new. I got to become a fan of someone new. And it was just truly awesome to watch. And I hope people in Austin take advantage and see as many shows at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival as possible, including mine, Friday night at the Paramount Theater.
There it is. He is Brad Williams. Check him out at the Paramount Friday, April 19th. It's the late show, the 9:30 show. You can go to austintheater.org to snag tickets, get info, see some of the other comics performing over a week and a half. And it truly has become the premier festival here in the U.S. and maybe worldwide as well with regards to the sheer amount of talent coming in who are doing their announced spots. And I'm guessing there's going to be a little bit of bouncing around town throughout the course of the week and a half as well. Brad, it is always a pleasure talking to you. We'd love to catch back up after we see what the Broncos and everybody else does in the NFL draft here in a month or so. And in the meantime, man, keep killing it. I look forward to checking out the tags on that OJ joke here in a couple of Fridays.
Thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure.
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. Thanks to you for hanging out. For more of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. We'll talk to you next time, Books on Pod.